City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by the American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queercast show number 389. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Mitchell Fain in a cosmic Native American muumuu.
It's a poncho.
It's very funny that it's a poncho.
It's lime
you
green.
You didn't go to Alaska and get this poncho.
No,
this
it's Megan's.
Like, oh, it's Megan's.
I came downstairs and I wanted to make you laugh. So
it's very funny.
But it's also very comfortable, by the way.
Yeah, I imagine.
I'm literally wearing a lime green muumuu-like poncho.
You are? It's so bad that we don't video cast.
I know. This
with,
should be.
With plaid little boy shorts.
Yes, well, they're my
navy plaid little boy shorts.
They are. They're my Calvin Klein plaid boy shorts.
And like mucklocks.
Yep. Listen, this is what happens when I don't. This is what happens when I don't have anything to do. This
You're
is why I say yes.
So happy. This you is make what me I, so happy,
honey. This is why I say yes to every project, because left to my own devices,
yeah.
I sit in my house all day. I watch bad television and I put on muckalucks and muumuus.
I need your life. I need your life.
Well, I'm getting busy very soon. We start rehearsals for the circus on Sunday, and I'm getting very busy soon. But
you have the circus, Mercus? No.
No,
it's
a midnight circus. During the weekend of Halloween.
Yeah.
So the 29th, 30th, and 31st down in Daly Plaza.
Down
Come check
Daly
us out.
Plaza. Yeah, yeah, that'll be so much fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
Halloween.
To it.
And now, would you be dressing up for something this coming weekend for Halloween?
I don't usually dress up because I've been doing the Halloween circus for 13 years. So by the time Halloween rolls around.
What do you want to see people dressing up as, though? Because you're going to see people out and about. What do you think are going to be the big things this year?
I like, well, people all over the Gaga meat dress.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to dress up. I'd like to get some friends and go as the Kardashians.
Me, you, Megan. How many of us can we put together?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
I like the Kardashians.
Although I want to play the boyfriend who stays out in clubs.
Oh, yes. You want to be Scott?
I don't know.
Hilarious.
I don't know. Maybe.
That's really funny.
You're right.
I think I want to be Courtney because she's my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm so obsessed with the
really
Kardashians.
I don't really watch them. I only see them when I'm having my
makeup. I'm just saying I have
and
caught
the sound's
up.
Off.
I have caught up with the Kardashians. I know.
Oh, you have?
You've
caught up. You've keeping up with the Kardashians.
I love them.
They teach us such life lessons, don't they?
Well, you know what it is? In this weird way, I love them for the same reason, not the same reason, but one of the reasons that I love Modern Family
mm-hmm.
is that at the end of the day, it's a family that loves each other. Like, the Kardashians is, I mean, it's a fucking dumb show, and they have no discernible talents, although the younger sisters seem to be, or the older one seems to be a good businesswoman, but.
Yeah, they're fairly entrepreneurial, I would say.
They are, but what I like is that they love each other, and so, like, at the end of the day, they're fighting and whatever, mm-hmm. being goofy siblings and a show about
nothing.
But
they protect one another.
They do, and I'm charmed. I mean, I watched it sort of ironically when I first started watching it on the ship, because there's not much to watch on the ships.
Right.
And then, of course, you get anything you watch.
You get attached.
You get attached to, but I do like them.
Yeah.
I do like them, and they're very, you know, they're very gay friendly.
They are very.
And not shy about saying it.
Yeah.
So hooray for that. Do you know the last time we talked? The last time we talked, and I sort of made this plea for like, where are the straight guys and the sport guys? You know, like the very next day, the quarterback Drew Brees made a video. On Ellen's request.
Oh, good.
Drew Brees. Everybody knows who he is. He was the quarterback that won the Super Bowl last year, and he's this very handsome, very outspokenly pro-gay, meaning like gay rights.
Gay supporter.
Big time. Ally. In this way that in his demographic, he is very rare. Mm-hmm. And so interesting, like literally the day after we talked, and I was like, where are these guys? Mm-hmm. You know, that somebody
that's
like,
still only one.
That's one. And then there's this guy who's the, who's like the 3-time college wrestling champ straight guy who's also been a huge supporter of gay rights. He also made a video, and then also with his fiance made one of the, a no hate added to the no hate campaign.
Oh, good.
It's just interesting that, you know, we sort of called it into the universe, and the next thing you know, there it is.
It's what we are. We're rainmakers.
I think we are.
Rainmakers for change.
Well, it's that whole fucking thing about the secret, right? There's no secret. Mm-hmm. You just sort of manifest what's true. There's no secret to it. You just ask for what you want.
It's exactly right. So
that woman just called it the secret and made $1 million, but it's not a secret. Yeah,
that is the secret.
The Kardashians.
I
had a big day with them today.
Is a big thing. Now, do you think?
You want to know what I'm going to wear for Halloween?
Yeah.
If I get dressed up, this is what I'm wearing. I will explain it to you from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head.
Oh, my God. I'm ready.
The girl who lives with me, Megan, we have the same size foot. And she has this pair of gold spiked gold lamé shoes. Mm-hmm. So I'll wear those. Then I'll wear a pair of fishnets. Mm-hmm. And then this very short mini skort with, because you don't have the legs. Mm-hmm. Mini skirt that's a halter all the way down to the navel with a sailor flap in the back, like the old Streisand sort of sailor things, but the front is all open in a halter. So I will wear that. I will not be shaving anything.
No. And you're a hairy little boy.
I'm a hairy little boy. I'm an otter. Mm-hmm. And then on my head, I will be wearing this purple. It's a purple wig, and then it's separated into two huge purple afro puffs.
Ah.
So if I go out, that's what I would be wearing. I don't know what that
just
is.
Look for the purple afro puffs.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's a new animated series is what I think it is. It's a new like WTTW Kids Network.
I mean, Amy, look at these legs. I mean, are we kidding here?
Are we kidding here?
I'm just kidding. I'm so kidding.
I love your legs. They're very, very cute.
Thank you.
I like it when you dress up like a cheerleader quite a lot.
Oh my God.
So you're getting ready to do that, and then you're off into Santa Land Diaries,
which I'm excited about.
Deep into my Hoosie Watsit into float rehearsals over Pat Kane's new play over
which
at About Face Theater, and Pat's going to be on an upcoming podcast just to talk about float, because she hasn't written a new play in a while, and her last play, Pulp, about lesbian pulp novels, was such a big hit and revived and has been done around the U.S.
She's a talented lady.
And I am so nice going to be on stage with some talented, talented ladies.
You are.
Laugh a lot.
Yeah, yeah, you have a pretty intense cast of...
We do.
It's so funny, you know, doing Santaland, it's like, it's the opposite. It's just me.
You're funny, though. And you're a talented, talented lady.
Thank you. But it's so interesting, you know, like I was teasing Megan because she's thinking of going to New York for Thanksgiving, and I said, oh, you know, that's fine. You know, you don't have to be my date for opening night of Santa Land. It's not like there's anybody else, because
I'll be there.
Thank you.
I'll be here.
It's just, you know, it's a one-person show, so like there is no cast. It's me. Mm-hmm. So there's no cast party. Mm-hmm. There's no backstage.
We'll have a party.
You know what I mean? It's just the weirdest.
Is it Thanksgiving night? Is that your...
I open the day after Thanksgiving at Theater Wit on Belmont and Racine. Yeah. Come see me, people. If you're in Chicago, come see me.
Yeah, Thanksgiving weekend.
Runs till December 31st.
I think I'm going to send my mom over to see you and then see me on Saturday.
Really? Will she be okay with the language?
She's fine with the language. Okay. It's just my dad who's probably listening to us going, all right, Mitchell, you're so good. Just clean up that mouth.
I know, but I didn't write it. Mm-hmm. So I...
No, he means now.
Oh. Oh my God, does he listen to me on this?
Oh, he listens to all of us.
Oh, Dad, Leo, I'm so embarrassed now because I really have a potty mouth. right to your daughter.
Oh, it's so good. So, you know, Nilla will be having her own personal, the dog will be having her own personal Beirut during Halloween. So,
oh no.
You know, she doesn't love the doorbell.
It. She hates it.
She doesn't love the doorbell. And,
she also doesn't love fireworks.
No, she doesn't love Halloween or 4th of July. Those are her Vietnams. Those are her very difficult days.
Well, she was in Nam, wasn't she?
I think she was in Nam. She you know, she's such the patroller of the street that if there are that many people walking on the street, it's just a whole lot. It's a whole lot to tell.
I know,
me
she's
what's
always
going
sitting
on.
In that. She's always sitting in that little what do you call those kind of windows?
I don't know.
There's some word for those windows.
It's
in
not
this.
A bay window. It's just like a little.
It isn't a bay
window.
Those are bay windows. Yeah, but she's always sitting in there like watching who's coming.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
All right. So I have to complain about something.
Yes, please.
So last night I ran into this friend of a friend, a really, really lovely guy. But he told this story, a really long story, fascinating story, good story. But, you know, he told the story at us for a very long time. And I have never met a person who used air quotes more during. Do you know what air
you
quotes
with their
are?
Fingers?
When they you make quotation marks with your fingers, like yep. like rabbit ears.
Yep.
Well, first of all, there's never. Well, unless you're being truly
mocking
ironic, right?
Truly.
But being ironic about being mocking.
Yes.
Like doubly
Wait,
ironic.
Can we have a pause to think on that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. But you know what I mean? Like you have to be
Deep
like you have to be like you have to be like meta ironic at that point.
I understand.
But oh my God, it got to the point where Megan and I were listening to his story, which was very interesting. But he kept using air quotes. And the more he kept using air quotes, and of course, Megan and I couldn't make eye contact because...
Right, I know, because you all would have lost it.
I mean, we would have lost it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so here's my two suggestions.
Okay.
Come see Megan sing at Mary's Attic.
Thursday nights.
Thursday night, next Thursday, whatever the 28th is. Whatever the 28th is, I can't remember when it is.
Yeah.
Whenever the 28th is, Mary's Attic at 9:30, come see Megan sing. Mm-hmm. I promise you it's a good time. And B, stop using air quotes.
Stop using air quotes.
All right, that's my rant.
Air quotes is such a... Who uses air quotes anymore?
I don't know. It was so bizarre.
People, you know, it's like in St. Elmo's Fire when the woman whispers and they're talking about, you know...
Right.
When Rob Lowe comes to...
oh, yeah, but like...
Mayor Winningham's and, you know, they got divorced.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's like that kind of...
I know,
of,
but my mother does that. My mother talks about that with about diseases.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, that kind of air quote seems to, like, encapsulate something precious or, you know.
I think it's somebody who was telling a story who wants you to know how clever and ironic they're being when it's like, I
can't even use an example of when I use air quotes.
I know. Well, it's like if you were to say, Snooki from Jersey Shore was acting all innocent.
Right.
Right.
Meaning not really innocent.
Not really innocent.
But
you get
air
my,
quote,
but
innocent.
But you get the, from the tone of my voice that I'm yes. already making
yeah.
an ironic point.
Yeah. And we can also just tilt the head a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I don't need to do a gesture on top of it.
Yeah. Although, trying too
although,
hard. It's trying too
although
hard.
Although, you know what?
It?
I'm going to incorporate it into Santaland and see, and, like, just yeah. as, and see where I can fit it in.
I think you should.
And just to see if anybody reacts
Maybe
to it.
Maybe just have one night where you actually do it.
Air quote through the whole thing. No, don't, because I think if I starve, I won't be able to stop. It will be addicting.
It's true. It's true. It could happen.
What are you going to do for Halloween?
I don't know. Kelly's going to be home.
She is?
Yeah.
Like for good or just...
No, just for a brief little respite. So we'll probably just give kid to the candies. No. Give
no.
candy to the kids. Give kids to the candy. Give kids to the air quote candy.
Candies. yeah, exactly. But she is going to be home on
and
Halloween.
And gays, yes, we really are like that.
Yes.
Yeah, she's going to be home for a brief little respite between legs of tours, and she's still out on her big Tectonic Theater Project, Laramie Project Tour, which I went to go see the performance in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Very moving that they're doing this landmark show with half of the original cast and from Broadway, you know, or off Broadway 11 years ago. And, you know, they're on the Whitewater campus, and there was a girl who got beat up for wearing a T-shirt that said legalize gay. And she got punched a few times, you know.
That night?
No, but weeks before.
Holy crap.
And, you know, and stuff just really happening. Like, it's really poignant to hear talking about hate crime and talking about, you know, where this hatred can lead. You know, a week ago in the wake of all these suicides by young people on college campuses and high schools and younger, it's just really powerful how evocative and how much that echoes a play and a time and a story of Matthew Shepard. Granted, he did not commit suicide, but the bullying.
Right, he was bullied to death.
He was bullied to death. And, you know, and it just shows you, like, it is an epidemic, and it's a problem.
You said it's interesting to see where this kind of behavior can lead. And my question that I keep asking and I keep not getting answers is, can we have a discussion, not you and I, but I mean in general, cultural discussion, a nationwide or global discussion about where this behavior comes from.
Yeah.
Why aren't we talking about where it comes from? Because I feel like partly where it comes from, and prepare to send me all sorts of hate letters, the church. Sorry, it comes from the church.
Well, it
I have
could,
talked to so many people in the past couple of past couple of weeks when this is all up, young people, gay and straight, and I've asked them where they experienced homophobia the most. Mm-hmm. Or where they learned homophobia the most. Mm-hmm. And all of them, Amy, have said in their church.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a part. I mean, if you know the Laramie Project, and if you haven't seen it and you're listening, you know, you can, the HBO movie is available on Netflix, The Laramie Project.
Which Kelly's in.
Or you can, along with everybody who's famous. And then, or you can read the copy of the script. But, you know, there is a section of the play that is about interviewing a Mormon leader, a Catholic priest who's actually extremely tolerant, a Baptist minister, a Unitarian minister, and you have like a gamut. You have the four different representations of spirituality, religion, whatever you want to call it, that are very different, from way left humanitarian to a Catholic who you would think actually would be more less tolerant, who's actually one of the, you know, most poignant voices in the play. And then, you know, I mean, I think the Baptist and the Mormon, you know, obviously have the most problem with it. But, you know, and so it is a facet. It's also just this facet of fear of what we don't know, what we don't understand. And
but who's telling? I get
and
that.
And the esteem of these young people, these
who's
two
telling
killers.
People, who's telling people that if you don't understand something, that you must hate and destroy it? That's getting taught. Yeah. I don't think that that's a natural human...
Yeah.
I personally don't think that's a natural human response. It's being taught. And so who's teaching it? Yeah. Why are they teaching it? Where is it getting perpetrated? And why isn't anybody talking about it?
Yeah.
Which is why something like the Laramie Project, especially going to places like Whitewater, Wisconsin, or
They had a great showing there. You know, they've been
was
all
a good
over.
Turnout?
Yeah, huge, 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 huge. And a lot of the audience was university students, which was really, really moving to be there. So, I mean, there's just so many issues around our GLBT story continues to evolve. And and you know what's going to be really interesting is all the activity with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and because that is coming out too, and people are saying these myths of like, if it gets repealed, then there'll be more violence against service people, you know, being
did
out.
Did anybody see Daniel, what was what's his name, Dan Choi? He was on Larry King, was it? Was
yeah, he's been making a ton of appearances.
Well,
right
he
now.
Said he was taking calls on Larry King last night. Did you see that?
I did not.
And if you get a chance,
I'm sure you can get a
Google
King
it or YouTube it, or because this woman called up and said, I hate to be stereotypical, but she had a very heavy Southern accent, and she was talking about her great nephew. He's been in, you know, the army, and you know, he shouldn't have to deal with these people in the showers and with the sex. And he was like, "Why are you making it about sex? There are people want to serve in the army to fight for a country. Why is it that everybody who has an issue with gays in the military make it about sex?"
Yeah.
It's not about sex.
Yeah.
If you, and he actually said, for the first time I've heard somebody say this, if you are thinking about sex, that might be your issue, ma'am, and maybe you're slightly immature.
Yeah.
And I was like, finally, someone just calls it out and stop being politically correct and trying to be nice to the little old Southern lady.
Yeah.
Tell her, you're being immature. I'm not making it about sex. I have a partner. I'm not interested in having sex in the barracks. I'm interested in serving my country.
Right.
Stop making it about sex and showers and naked and all that sort of stuff. That's not why people join the army.
Right.
It's not like a bunch of like lascivious personality types are going to leap to join the armed forces.
Right.
The kind of person that has always joined
it's
the armed forces.
It's very disciplined. It's disciplined.
What's that kind of personality?
Too.
Yes.
A very
that's the same kind of personality who's going to join the army.
Right.
Anyway.
It's a big conversation. We're going to try to start a bit of it here on the show today, and I'm very excited just to kind of get around this. So we have an interview coming up with a former military, openly gay officer, and we're speaking with him today, and also more that's going on in the news, because it's been quite up and down, not only about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but many other things.
Like the Glee kids on GQ.
The Glee kids on GQ. I actually have to say I raised an eyebrow myself.
It's not a kid show. They keep calling it a kid show. It's not a kid show.
It's not a kid show, but the kids want to watch. So, and also what's going on in the theater. So we'll be back. It's a big fat show.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The Obama administration resuscitated the Don't Ask, Don't Tell gay ban on October 20th by convincing the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to temporarily stay an injunction by a federal district judge in Riverside, California. U.S. District Judge Virginia Phillips had found the ban unconstitutional and barred any further use of it worldwide effective October 12th. In response, the military stopped kicking out openly gay and lesbian service members and began letting openly gay and lesbians sign up to enlist. But the Obama administration, which says it strongly opposes Don't Ask, Don't Tell, helped bring the ban back just 8 days later.
The Human Rights Campaign has released its congressional scorecard for Congress. The average score was 50.8% for House members and 57.3% for senators. Scores included the co-sponsoring of the Uniting American Families Act, the vote on the DADT repeal amendment, and the passage of the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act.
There's been another gay teen suicide, this time in Michigan. However, officials say that there was no evidence of anti-gay bullying. Oakland University student Corey Jackson, age 19, apparently hanged himself on October 19th. He was discovered in a wooded area on the school's campus.
In Mississippi, the ACLU filed a lawsuit against the Forest County Sheriff's Department and several others on behalf of Andre Cooley, a corrections officer for juvenile detainees, who was allegedly fired when his supervisors discovered he was gay. The lawsuit claims that the department violated Cooley's constitutional rights. On June 14th, while at home and off duty, Cooley called 911 after his boyfriend became physically violent. Among the officers responding to the call was the Chief of Corrections, Charles Bolton, one of Cooley's supervisors, who learned of Cooley's sexual orientation. Staff Sergeant of Jail Operations, Donnell Brannon, told Cooley the next day that he was fired.
In Oregon, Seth Stambaugh, the gay student teacher who lost his job after revealing his sexual orientation to an elementary school student, will be reinstated. Stambaugh will return to his post in the Beaverton School District under an agreement reached with Lewis and Clark College, where he attends. Approximately two dozen parents at Sexton Mountain Elementary School rallied to support Stambaugh.
In New York, the trial of accused killer John Kateas, 18, has started. Kateas allegedly killed openly gay radio journalist George Weber in the victim's Brooklyn home last year. Defense attorneys are painting the defendant as the victim of a 47-year-old sexual predator. Prosecutors are saying that Kateas was a cold and calculating individual who made an oral sex-for-cash arrangement with the victim and then fatally stabbed him.
Apparently, more young men are getting throat cancer because of oral sex. Young men are being urged to get the controversial HPV vaccine. Women are more likely to develop cervical cancer from HPV and make up just 15% of throat cancer patients.
Steven Slater, the openly gay former JetBlue flight attendant who famously walked off his job, pled guilty to one count of misdemeanor attempted criminal mischief and one count of felony criminal mischief. Slater avoided jail time, but will have to complete a year-long mental health program as well as attend substance abuse counseling.
In Rhode Island, U.S. District Judge Mary Lisi has ruled that the anti-gay National Organization for Marriage can run political ads in that state's gubernatorial race, but must report how much it is spending. The group wants to run radio and TV ads against political candidates who support marriage equality.
In Texas, leader John Langbert said that he was ousted from the Boy Scouts because of his sexual orientation. Langbert, the father of a 9-year-old, received a leader t-shirt last year, but other fathers since complained about him being gay, and Langbert said he was asked to stop wearing the shirt and relinquish his leadership role. The Scout Circle 10 Council have responded that Langbert was never designated as a leader and that there would have been no issue if he had kept his sexuality hidden.
In California, the California Court of Appeals for the 4th Appellate District ruled in favor of four San Diego firefighters in a case involving that city's 2007 Gay Pride Parade. The firefighters said that they were forced to participate in the parade, where they were subjected to sexually offensive gestures and catcalls. They then sued the city and won the lower court case, which the city appealed.
In Utah, Cedar City may ban anti-gay discrimination. The city's council is scheduled to vote October 27th on such a measure. If it's approved, Cedar City would become the 8th county or city in the state and the first in southern Utah to prohibit such discrimination. A poll has found that almost 7 out of 10 Utah residents support banning sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination regarding housing and employment.
In Ohio, North High School principal Jennifer Chalby has met with students and admonished them after approximately 300 students used an anti-gay slur against a rival team at a football game. However, Chalby added that so many students chanted the slur that she will not suspend anyone.
In world news, in Nova Scotia, Glenn Race, who has been accused of 2 murders of gay men, has been ordered to undergo psychological testing. Race was arrested in 2007 while attempting to cross into Mexico from Texas. The arrest occurred shortly after the bodies of Trevor Brewster and Michael Knott were found. Race was then tried in the U.S. on a killing in New York State. He was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to 25 years to life in prison. Race will be returned to the U.S. to serve the remainder of that sentence, regardless of the findings in Canada.
Human rights organizations have asked Turkish officials to drop criminal charges against transgender rights advocates. In May, Turkish police allegedly stopped the 5 activists and physically attacked them. The activists are on trial for resisting arrest. They could be sentenced to a maximum of 3 years in prison. Approximately a dozen transgender individuals have been killed in Turkey over the past several years.
In England, a court found Saudi Prince Saud bin Abdulaziz bin Nasir Al Saud guilty of murdering servant Bandar Abdullah Abdulaziz in a London hotel in February. Al Saud, a grandson of Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah, was rumored to be lovers with Abdulaziz, a claim the prince repeatedly denied. In Saudi Arabia, homosexuality is a crime punishable by death.
In Ireland, Senator David Norris, who is openly gay, plans to run for that country's presidency. 2 polls have put Norris ahead of current president Mary McAleese, which means he could be the first openly gay man to lead Ireland.
In entertainment news, singer and actress Liza Minnelli has canceled 7 shows due to a bout with bronchial pneumonia. The canceled concerts are in Appleton, Wisconsin, Joliet, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana, Boston, Memphis, and Nashville, Tennessee.
Former Survivor winner Richard Hatch, who's openly gay, entertainer LaToya Jackson, and personality attorney Star Jones are among the 16 contestants on the upcoming season of The Celebrity Apprentice. Other competitors include Lisa Rinna, 70s icon David Cassidy, Dionne Warwick, and Marley Matlin.
Singer Melissa Etheridge, actor Danny Glover, and actor and comedian Hal Sparks were on hand on October 21st at Ivan Kane's Cafe Was in Hollywood to speak about legalizing marijuana. Californians will vote on Prop 19, which will regulate, control, and tax marijuana, on November 2nd.
Actress Fran Drescher has become the latest celebrity to be featured in HRC's New Yorkers for Marriage Equality video series to raise awareness of same-sex marriage heading into the November elections. Previous videos were released by Moby, Mayor Bloomberg, actress Julianne Moore, and designer Kenneth Cole.
And the TV show Glee is embroiled in yet another controversy because of a GQ magazine spread. On the cover, Glee co-star Corey Monteith has his hands on the derrières of scantily clad co-stars Deanna Agron and Leah Michelle. The Parents Television Council has said it borders on pedophilia. GQ asks folks to divide reality from fantasy. These kids are in their 20s. Corey Monteith's almost 30. I think they're old enough to do what they want. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. When we last saw our heroine, the Swedish goth computer hacker Elizabeth Salander, she was heading to the hospital after being shot in the head during the slam bang finish to The Girl Who Played with Fire, our previous installment in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy. The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, the third and final part, picks up just moments later when Elizabeth is in recovery from her nearly fatal wound, just like Laurie in Halloween 2. But unlike Laurie, who has to fight off psycho Michael Myers, garbed in a hospital gown throughout most of the picture, Elizabeth is pretty much sidelined until nearly the last sequence, the movie's biggest frustration. She's either in recovery mode or sitting defiant in her punk regalia in court, snarling in silence, facing an attempted murder charge, when we want her kicking butt, computer hacking, carrying out one of those thrilling revenge scenarios which show her cool intelligence and fearlessness. The story revolves around a secret organization that is framing Elizabeth for the attempted murder and is trying to have her permanently committed. It's up to her friend and sometime lover, the slow-eyed investigative journal, Michael, to prove her innocence once and for all. There's a lot of stuff with Mikkel's magazine editor and staff being threatened, but who cares, along with a lot of other plot strands that are tied together in the race to the finish. It will definitely help the uninitiated to see the previous two movies to fully appreciate what's going on here. Then finally, near the end, there is a great sequence when Elizabeth goes into high gear and enacts, what else, revenge on a character that had the idiocy to try and stop her. Woe to any man who gets in Elizabeth's way. And though Elizabeth and Michael don't have nearly enough interaction, and I miss Elizabeth's girlfriend too, the movie ends with a nice, unsentimental wrap-up for them. The Swedish Dragon Tattoo trilogy has indeed set a high mark for the Hollywood remake thanks to Noomi Rapace's thrilling performance as Elizabeth in each of the films, matching up nicely with Michael Nyqvist, understated ones as Michael and Mikkel. And though I really only think the first movie in this series is worth all the fuss, Completists and The Curious will have a hard time resisting the oddly compelling Elizabeth in her final act. I'm Richard Knight Jr., who can't speak because I have a cold and a cat on my lap, and that's your Night at the Movies Minute, over with at last.
Tourism Vancouver wants to bring your party of five to Vancouver for Pride Weekend next summer. That's right, imagine you and four friends in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, dancing the day and night away at the Pride Parade, Pride Festival, Dyke March, and Street Party. Enter the Party of Five to Vancouver Pride 2011 sweepstakes by visiting tourismvancouver.com/5. Prize includes round-trip flights to Vancouver for five people from anywhere in North America. Two nights share accommodations during Vancouver Pride at the hip Opus Hotel in trendy Yale Town. A $500 dining credit to Rain City Grill, an icon of West Coast dining just steps from the parade route and English Bay Beach. So which four friends would you like to take to Vancouver Pride? Visit tourismvancouver.com/5 and enter to win. The 2011 Vancouver Pride Parade takes place on July 31st, 2011. The sweepstakes runs through December 31st, 2010 and is open to residents of the United States, excluding Florida, and Canada, excluding Quebec. You must be 21 years of age to enter. For full rules and regulations, visit tourismvancouver.com/5.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Kaweed.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 25th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Feel the heat of hunky brick Pullet in Raven Theater's sultry fall drama Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, running through December 19th. As New City puts it, when things get hot, they get really hot. Visit raventheater.com for more information on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Writers Theater's She Loves Me, directed by the acclaimed Michael Halberstam, is declared the perfect musical with the perfect cast by Center Stage. Experience this powerhouse cast as they perform the chamber musical in our intimate Tudor Court venue. Tickets are selling out. Order yours today by visiting writerstheater.org.
Don't miss River North Chicago Dance Company at the Harris Theater in Millennium Park for a one-night-only engagement, Saturday, November 13th at 8 o'clock. The performance features a stunning world premiere by contemporary choreographer Sidra Bell, along with many other celebrated works. For tickets, visit harristheaterchicago.org.
Four guys, one girl, one wild vacation. It's Departure Lounge, Bailiwood Chicago's new musical direct from London, about four guys caught between adolescence and adulthood and a girl on all their minds. Departure Lounge is playing now through December 12th at the Royal George Cabaret Theater at Halstead and North. Tickets are available at the box office or through Ticketmaster. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Can't seem to find my way around here anymore. Not a thing has changed. Everything's the same. Same old stupid.
Earlier in the show, Mitchell and I were talking about how confounding it has been, the roller coaster that has been the past couple of weeks here around the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. What has been Congress and the president and our responsibility, the military, the Defense Department's response. Everyone has finally, it seems, gotten vocal, even if they have not gotten vocal in the way we as a GLBT community would like. And so I wanted to firsthand actually talk with a military man or woman, someone who is a part of our community, served in the military, and can kind of help navigate these waters for us of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the policy and where it stands and what it has gone through here in recent weeks. Lee Reinhart was an operations specialist, second class Navy, and also radio man, second class Coast Guard. So he served in a couple areas of our armed forces. He was discharged under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and will be here speaking at a American Veterans for Equal Rights dinner that's coming up later on here in November. And I'm really glad to just have somebody firsthand talk us through everything that has gone on. Lee, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I can imagine, as somebody who is a part of many communities that are being discussed, that this has been an emotional time for you.
Yes, it definitely has. It came to a peak this last week with the recent news when the court in California last week ruled and told the military to cease and desist on kicking people out. And then on Tuesday when the Pentagon abided by that judge's decision. So they pretty much in 7 days prior to that, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was dead. No one was being discharged. So, And what we like to tell people is the world didn't fall apart in that 7 days, you know? So, So we experienced 7 days of no, don't ask, don't tell. And then on Tuesday, and, you know, we knew that it wasn't just going to stop there. We knew that it was going to go through the court process and it could be back and forth before, you know, it completely gets settled. But surprisingly, on Tuesday, we heard from the Pentagon that they were now accepting gays and lesbians back into the service. Mm. So recruiting openly gay men and women. So I immediately started making phone calls to recruiters. I checked into the Coast Guard because the Coast Guard was the branch that I was, you know, discharged from. So it's one of those things, you know, I want to finish a job that I started. Mm-hmm. So I checked them in with the Coast Guard recruiter. Now, to their credit, it was just announced within an hour that I had heard it, and I'm already calling them.
Right.
But they were very professional. I will say the Coast Guard didn't seem too eager to want to get started on it or work with it. I had reached out to the Navy as well, but I did not touch base with a Navy Reserve recruiter, and that's what I'm mostly looking to do is get back into the reserve component of the branches.
Yeah. Hey, let's back up just a little bit. Tell everybody okay. So we know, like, what is your brief history in the military? I mean, when did you enter the military, and what did that military career kind of look like from you? I mean, where are you from? Are you from the Midwest?
I was born in Illinois, raised in Texas, and then mm-hmm. we came back to Illinois when I graduated high school in 91.
And is your family a military family?
None of my family was. My grandfather was in, I believe it was World War II, I believe. Mm-hmm. But he was not a lifer. He was in briefly, you know, because of the draft, I believe. Mm-hmm. So he was the only one in my family that had any military background. So
what was the allure of the military then?
So the lure of the military was I was 21, 22 when I went in. My family lives in central Illinois. I came out to my family before I went into the Navy because I was in Bible college prior to the Navy. So I came out of the closet to my family while I was in Bible college. So that was a struggle. And I wasn't finding any directions. I wasn't too accepted by my family for being gay. And I needed a way out of central Illinois. Mm. And someone with no money and no college degree, it's hard to get out of, you know, mm-hmm. a small town America. So in the military was that opening for me, even though I knew this was 1995 when I joined the Navy, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell was still fairly new, but full force mm-hmm. back then. So mm-hmm. I knew going into it what it was going to be like for me.
So what was that? What was it like for you? Was it about truly don't ask, don't tell? They don't ask if you're gay, about your private life, and you don't talk about it?
Well, for me, I knew it was going to be hard because I completely came out of the closet. I mean, when I went to the recruiting office in Bloomington, Illinois, my license plate on my car had the word pride on my license plate. I had specialized plate. I wish I would have kept those plates because people laugh at me and don't believe me when I had them. But when I drove to the recruiting office, mm-hmm. my Illinois plate said pride. And I remember clearly the recruiter asked him what it meant. And I was so nervous because I wanted in so bad. I was willing to set my personal life aside because I just needed to get out of central Illinois and I wanted to make something of myself. Mm-hmm. So I remember telling him, oh, I just have pride in my car. Mm-hmm. And here I had this beat up little car, you know, that there should be no pride in that car. So, but I'm sure he didn't believe me, but that's all it was said. And I wanted to do whatever it took to get in. In my mind, I wasn't denying myself who I was. I wasn't misleading government. Because I remember, Amy, when I joined in 95, and I remember the law came in 93, mm-hmm. they were still using the entry paperwork, because they were still using old entry paperwork, and the question was still on the entry question, the paperwork. Mm-hmm. If you ever engaged homosexual activity, that's no longer in there. It hasn't been since Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But at that time, they were still using the old paperwork. And I remember him clearly, when he got to that question, he drew a line through it and said, you don't have to answer this question. Let's skip down to the next one. Mm. And I was so willing to get on with my life and get out of central Illinois that I was going to put myself back in the closet. Now, needless to say, that didn't last long, but I did what it took to get in.
So let me just ask you, was your understanding when you entered into the military and when the recruiting officer said, you don't have to answer this question, was it your understanding that as long as you did your job and your sexuality was not something that you discussed, that you would be accepted there? Or what was the climate? How homophobic or, was there any poking or prodding around each other's sexuality?
Not that I remember. It was a pretty simple, fast skip over this question. Let's move through and process, you know. Cause to me, I don't think any recruiter to this day probably care. They have a quota they have to make. So, right.
But was the climate when you entered into your first position and your first job, was that climate equally kind of live and let live as long as you don't talk about it?
Well, yeah, for me, I mean, my family, when I first joined, because, you know, they put me through therapy, religious therapy, to try to change who I was. And when I first joined the military, they thought, oh, this is what he needs. This will make him a man. This is going to change him. You know, if he survives the military, this is going to be exactly what we need. This is our answer. And to my surprise and to my family's surprise, I met more gay people by going off into the military than staying in Central Illinois, you know?
Right.
So after I got out of the boot camp in Chicago, and then I went to my specialized A school in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You're there for about 4 months. I think I was there for four months. And it becomes more like a college atmosphere. You're A school. You live in dorm type atmosphere. You have your evenings and weekends free. And I was able to leave base and be able to have social life. And mm-hmm. that's where, as I was stationed in Virginia, in Damn Neck, Virginia, obviously I ran into other gay members of the military. It was hanging out at the gay bars there. So it became very easy for me to be able to separate my social life, which entailed me being gay, and then returning each day to school.
Mm-hmm.
So it became very much like a normal job
mm-hmm.
until, you know, then
yeah.
I was sent to my ship in the spring of 96. So
you said you met a lot of people who were gay in the Navy and the Coast Guard. I mean, did you find?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So talk to me about what happened. I mean, many of us may not think about, you know, serving in the military can be like any other regular job.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's not. It's not held under the same jurisdiction as other jobs. So what was the story around your discharge, and when did the rumblings of that begin for you?
Okay. Well, I know we're low on time, but from my experience in the entire Navy, those 4 years I was in the Navy, my first 2 years I stayed pretty much in the closet,
mm-hmm.
but I eventually came out to two or three people on my ship who kept that, you know, kept that mm-hmm. secret for me and became very close confidants. But over time, I eventually came out of my ship, and at one point, I was completely out to my entire ship and never had any. I mean, people laugh at me, but it's totally true. And I basically, before we went on our second 6 month deployment, because I pretty much was in the closet the first 6 month deployment, except for two or three men that knew, and these were all straight men that knew that kept mm-hmm. it. So I'm very honored by their trust.
Mm-hmm.
But when I knew I could not go on another 6 month deployment and be with these men 24/7 and have to make up lies or not be able to talk about my own life, because
mm-hmm.
you can't really talk to people and leave big chunks out of your life. So
right.
I turned myself in the Navy before we left on our second 6 month deployment. So this would have been in 98. And the operations officer, who's third in command of the ship, told me, nice try, go back to work.
Oh, wow.
And if anybody bothers you, you come to me. And then I knew, I knew right then and there, well, that didn't work. So I'm not staying in the closet. So for those last 2 years in the Navy, I never once kept any secrets. My shipmates went to gay bars with me. My senior chief, they knew what I was doing. And that's how easy it was for me. This was in 1998 and 1999. It was great. It was the most awesome time I've had in my life. And I to this day, I stay in touch with many of those straight shipmates that I served with.
Wow.
But So
the myth that the other soldiers will be impacted or affected negatively by the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in your estimation, in your experience, is absolutely just that, a myth.
It's totally a myth. It's totally wrong. The people that, a lot of these people that say that, probably have never served the military in their entire life. It's one of the, it makes me want to laugh, but it's so serious. They're mm-hmm. threatened, people believe them, but it's, I never once, Amy, had any problem on that ship or repercussions. Those friendships grew stronger.
Right.
I had a straight man that walked me out to the car, a good friend of mine, the day I left, and he cried and said, I would never have given homosexuals the time or day to become their friends, but I would never turn my back on you.
Hmm.
And it's just one of those things. These people work side by side together. What I said the other day in an interview was, I thank our leaders in Congress and the people that try to make these decisions and kick us out and, you know, keep us from serving our country. I don't think they give the straight men and women of the military enough credit to be able to serve with gay men and women, because we're already doing, it's already happening today.
Right.
People are serving side by side today, and they know that their shipmates are, you know, are gay.
Yeah.
So,
well, and everybody, it's like any job too. There are people in corporate America, you know, I don't care if it's bankers, traders, real estate agents, whatever it is, who doctors, who do not feel comfortable being out in their workplace. And then there are those who do. And that really doesn't matter. That's more about a person than it is. I don't think everybody's going to come running out of the closet because Don't Ask, Don't Tell gets repealed, that's in the military. Some people won't be confident with that kind of intimacy or that kind of knowledge.
Exactly.
Right?
And people have different comfortability who they are, you know?
Yeah.
I'm an outspoken activist. I'm comfortable. My family knows all about me. There ain't nothing that I need to hide. But there are other people, and there's nothing wrong with those type of people either.
Exactly.
You know? They're gay and they're lesbian, but they don't have to have a desire or feel the world needs to know about it.
Right.
But they still should be able to have the right to serve. And if anything ever comes up, that isn't an issue, you know?
Yes. And not to lose their jobs over it. I mean,
exactly.
That is a basic right that people should have. And as you said, we don't give our straight men and women in the military the weight of the honor, I think, and service to which they are there to do. They're not there to, have sex. I mean, they have opportunities to do that somewhere else, just like all the rest of us do, right?
Exactly. Exactly. People, much of the military, granted, for those on the battlefield, your daily life is much different than those who are here on the home front in the military. But here, when you're on the home front in the military, you have the ability, to be out and have social lives and stuff.
Right.
But those on the battlefield adjust, They have to adapt to the environment they're in.
Yep. Yep.
So
what happened from you leaving the Navy at that time?
I came home. I chose to get out because my time was up. I came home, spent the next few years between 1999 and to September 11th. I spent most of that in the reserve components. So I was pretty much here at home in central Illinois. And then after the events of September 11th, I was almost 30 at the time, started looking at my options and really wanted to, I was in the reserves, but I felt like I still wasn't doing enough for my country.
Mm.
And I, at that time, still hadn't found the direction or the career path that I wanted, that I thought I could find after returning from the Navy. So I looked at all the branches and which ones would offer me the best option for me. And it came down to the Coast Guard and the Navy. And I thought, okay, I give them the Navy a try. I've made some good friendships. I still maintain those. But let's choose the Coast Guard. So I chose the Coast Guard. Ended up right back stationed in San Diego, not by choice. I wanted somewhere different, but I ended up in San Diego. And then the Coast Guard is a much smaller branch, and there's probably 30 or 40 ships in the Navy probably stationed in San Diego. There was only 2 ships stationed in the Coast Guard in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
So much smaller branch, and it took me less than a month. I reported duty, I think, in March. On the ship in 2002, and within a month, I was connected with another gay person on the ship. When I say connected, we became friends, and nothing more, nothing less. We just so happened to be, both gay men. Became friends. We were getting ready to leave on a short 3-month deployment to Hawaii with a pit stop in Portland, Oregon on our way, and him and I became friends. For him, he was already suspected by his crew members that he was gay. So for me to be the new guy coming from the Navy from nowhere and automatically becoming friends with him, so, your guilt by association type thing,
Correct, right.
So I didn't go back to the Coast Guard. And I knew going back in that once again, I'd probably have to start over. I'm not going to be able to publicly say that I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
But I had my guards down, I'm saying? I had it so easy in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't expecting such different atmosphere in the Coast Guard. So I basically, all it took, long story short, is that we made a pit stop in Portland, Oregon. This gentleman and I took some female crew members on the ship to a gay bar with us. They went back on the ship and talked about a wonderful time they had that evening at the gay bar dancing with us. Dancing, that's all it was. And that started an investigation. And I was ultimately given two choices. Basically, I could go ahead and turn myself in for being gay, or they would start an investigation. I could deny I was, and they would start an investigation, and they would find out I was gay. So either way, I was going to be discharged on a don't ask, don't tell. Hmm. All that happened within the first 6 months of reentry into the military.
Well, and see, so, that shows the subjective nature and the problems, the problems with don't ask, don't tell. Because as you said, a number of straight guys went to gay bars with you and other officers, and investigations were not taken out on them because it seemed irrelevant to actual homosexual activity. You know, going to a bar, no matter what kind of bar it is, if I walked into a primarily African American bar, it doesn't make me African American. You know, that it obviously is subjective and based on who's kind of ruling the roost or the ship or that particular location or arm
off of their own personal beliefs. And when we sat there with the executive officer on that ship and told him about I couldn't believe this was happening, and told him about my experience in my last 2 years in the Navy and how the captain on down knew I was, and he truly did not believe me. He said, there's no way that captain should have discharged you. And I'm like, but he chose not to because it had nothing to do with the way I did my job.
Mm.
And he couldn't believe that. And they were that willing so quickly to, the money they had spent. And that's where taxpayers, a lot of people talk about wasted dollars.
Yeah.
You need to look at how much is wasted in this process.
Yeah.
So what's happening to our, with the
investments in people to train them in intelligence and specific jobs, and then to, toss them like they're dispensable. Is not true, not even from like a moral and ethical, but practically speaking, they've been trained and they are an investment in our country's security.
People like to always use a lot of religious people, or not even religious people, people that are against this altogether and don't want us to serve, try to use this argument. Well, I don't want to, if they allow this to, gays to serve openly, men are going to start making passes at men. I'm going to feel uncomfortable with that. And I tell people all the time when they use that argument, I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen like you make it out to be. I'm pretty much guaranteed. But I'm not here to say that would never happen. A
right.
man's probably going to make a pass at a man and not know for sure that man is going to reciprocate. And if he doesn't, that's when that man should back off and leave him alone. If he doesn't back off, then that straight man has every right to be able to turn that person in. That's what they should be able to, just like a female has in the military.
It's the real world. You go to the Bally's gym. It's the real world. Flattered, say no thank you, and move on. I mean, we live in the real world. Why should the military not be any more the real world, right?
The military prides itself on training people for their civilian jobs in the civilian world.
Right.
So this is every commercial you see about how you can go into the military and then when you're done, you can come out and be this great career person. Well,
right.
Let's train them right. And this
right.
is what it's going to be like in the real world.
Right.
So,
Lee, tell me what role does U.S. District Judge Virginia Phillips play in this story of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? What did Judge Phillips, what did she find, and how did that then get altered this past week?
Well, I'm probably not going to be able to give you the legal answers.
That's okay. Tell me how you understand it as a military person, and how we'll understand it as civilian people. That's all we need to know.
How I understand it is, thankfully, the Law Cabin Republicans, which is a gay organization made, gay men and women who affiliate with the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
they see how unjust and unfair this law is and have taken this lawsuit up. And we should thank them for
yes,
that, for their endeavor
absolutely.
In that. So that isn't, and that goes to show you that it should not be a party issue, and
right.
they have chosen to take up that fight. And they presented this case over the summer to her, and I think that she found that denying men and women who have the ability and have the, meet the requirements to serve our nation have been denied that right, and she ruled in their favor.
Right.
And,
she found that, you know, she found it unconstitutional is essentially yep. all I need to know. That means it's not right. I mean, it's not yep. what our founding fathers and mothers who were supporting our founding fathers thought.
Exactly. And I think she, I think what I have read and what I've seen, she gave the government enough chance to come back to her earlier in the week to mm-hmm. see if she would put a stay on her own ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they did not present enough evidence. So, mm-hmm.
So leading up to her finding this unconstitutional, the GLBT community was also given this promise in a State of the Union address by our president that don't ask, don't tell would be that it will end this year. That was one yeah. of his promises. Correct.
But you know what that was his correct. That was stated very clearly in the State of Union. But do you know what he said at the MTV? I think it was the MTV.
Yeah, this is what I was going to ask you. What did he say? Because I mean, here's where the turnaround has happened with this administration. Because it's interesting that you said it shouldn't fall along party lines. And I think as GLBT community, we feel ourselves more aligned with the Democratic Party. Here we have the log. This is how topsy-turvy this whole damn thing is. We have the log cabin Republicans, which for some people, I mean, over the years, myself included, it has been an oxymoron to go, that's like jumbo shrimp, right? It's like a log cabin Republican and a gay Republican fighting for this, actually getting some action and a judge, a really respected judge, a fair judge, to say that's unconstitutional. She's going through the measures in a right way with this echo from the State of the Union from a Democratic president that and a Democratic Congress that, you know, this is going to end this year. And then once she declares this, there's no stay put on her ban. As you said, we have this 1 week where, you know, I guess the fears of everyone who is against this, all the gays come running, screaming, flailing and drag out of the closet to join the military. And then a week later, it's the Obama administration that puts the kibosh on this whole thing, that basically says it's going to end. But what is your understanding of what the president and this administration stated?
First, I'm a supporter of him. I believe that he had a lot on his plate.
Right.
But when it comes to this issue, I truly believe he has failed us. I believe he has failed. In that sense, do I see myself handcuffing myself to the White House gates? No. But
Okay. Dan Choi's doing that for all of us.
He's doing that quite well for all of us.
Yeah.
He got that covered.
Yeah.
So, and I can relate with his frustration, but I think there's different ways to do it. But, you know, that's.
Hey, we need all of them, honestly. I think we need all these tactics. I mean, obviously, we need the log cabin Republicans from.
Yep.
That, you know, from that side of the community all the way to, you know, Dan Choi, like, you know, very liberal activist.
Who would have thought the log cabin Republicans would have led this one, but often to them. But I think that he has let us down. I understand why, you know, he took an oath to uphold the Constitution. This is a law. He has to uphold it. But my understanding, there are so many different ways he could still have done his job and done it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when, but going back to the MTV thing real quick, Amy, was he said, I think it was MTV, that it will end on his watch. Okay, well, your watch doesn't end for 2 more years.
Right.
So what happened to this year? And I'm getting so sick of hearing that. We all know what could happen in 2 weeks. You know, we might not have it as easy to get this done.
Yeah.
And I'll be, it'll be surprising, but if, in a way, it's turning events, who knows, it might be a Republican watch and this thing gets overturned.
Yeah.
I don't care how it gets done, but
yeah.
But what I always couldn't understand why he couldn't issue an executive, for the beginning for myself, why don't you just issue an executive order and be done with this? And I learned the reason why, because the next president come around and undo that. But here's my thing, Amy. He could do any society has moved on. Men and women in the military have moved on. They serve with these gay men and women. They don't care.
Right.
My belief is he most likely, he can issue an executive order today. Even if he serves 2 more years or 4 more years, a total of 6 more years from now, do you really think that we're going to go so backwards in our society that the next president is going to want to overturn this?
Yeah.
The military will have already adjusted. Men and women will be serving. It would be such a disaster in the making. And the whole military structure itself would be uprooted 6 years down the road if another president decided to say, oh, we're kicking all the gay people out now.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that mm-hmm. whatever his reason is, he could issue this executive order at this point because it becomes such a freaking mess. He needs to do something. No more sitting on the sidelines on this.
We do not want another Prop 8 around this issue. Then it's just constantly.
But we're already there.
And we're already there. We are.
Look what happened.
Look what happened.
You know, in Prop 8, those people got married in between time.
Right, 3 months.
And then look how many people, including myself, and I, you know, again, I have my own opinions about Dan Choi, but I really reached out to CNN on Tuesday. I reached out to Rachel Maddow. I understand Lieutenant Dan Choi is a national name people recognize, and that's why the news media wants to interview him and talk to him and follow him around with cameras. But I think the country needs to know there was a hell of a lot more on Tuesday afternoon trying to serve their country once again and going to recruiting offices and get back in.
Yeah.
And now look at that. That window for me, it was so fast for me, Amy, that the recruiters were going to send me to MEPS, which is the physical checkup
this
coming Tuesday.
Right.
That's how fast it was moving for me.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just it is fascinating because we can talk about the fact that our troops, because we are at wartime and mm-hmm. this war has gone on. These wars have gone on for so long. They have surpassed any other major war that we've ever had in our nation's history. And our troops are tired and overworked and working more than they should have to. It is financially not solvent to be discharging people that we make investments in. The fact that since the 1990s, I even believe people as big as Wesley Clark and other people were saying, you know, we have moved on. We're ready. Yeah. We've got Colin Powell, who's changed his stance.
Dick Cheney has changed his stance.
I mean, we have proven that men and women now who are speaking up, such as yourself, were serving openly without incident in the military. There is really no reason, and this is the same thing that we have where we have 15,000 couples in California who are married and nothing has changed in the world. No straight marriages are any more in violation. Divorce attorneys are probably making more money, as are party planners. No church
has been forced to marry them.
Absolutely.
No church has been burnt to the ground.
We are going to start having so many landmines where certain citizens are treated differently than other citizens. I mean, I can't marry my partner, but Ellen DeGeneres' wife has changed her name. You know, is that fair? Is that constitutional? I'm glad that they can because they had a 3-month window, but that's not constitutional. We're really getting into a really, really interesting, let's just not make it negative, a really interesting time for constitutional law in our country. And I am sure more is going to be revealed on all of this. And Lee, let me tell you, you will be my first go-to interview, as I think the story is still unfolding. And I would love to have you back on again.
I'm not giving up.
I know.
When the recruiter called me yesterday, because I had sent out my letters of recommendations, and I have a congressman that's helping me out as well. And we do truly have leaders out there that are really willing to help. Mm-hmm. I don't think, obviously, it's clear we don't have enough of those type of leaders. But I did, when he called me yesterday afternoon and told me, well, now the Navy has suspended all processing, you know, mm-hmm. obviously it was a blow. I knew it could be possible. I didn't think it was going to happen that fast. And I honestly think the recruiter, by pushing so fast through the process, he thought maybe he can get me in before it ended again.
Yep, yep.
But that's not the case. But he did say, you know, continue with your letters of recommendation. They're good for 90 days. So it's just, Amy, I'm telling you, it's just one of those things, you know, you try not to get your hopes up.
Right.
And then it becomes such a blow that it's like, here we are again. And I do not see how the President of the United States can now. My question is, at this point, why in God's name did the Pentagon on Tuesday give the go-ahead if they knew they probably were going to win in the courts and this thing was going to be put on stay and it was going back in place? Then why did they take that extra step and say, go ahead and recruit gays and lesbians? Why did they even give that okay?
Right.
That's my big question. Who is not communicating with who?
Yep.
And the president needs to get control of what's going on in this issue.
I am with you. Lead, President Obama. That's what I think we need. We need a leader. We do not need a manager or a facilitator. We need a leader. Lee, I really appreciate you. Thank you for being on what I think will be the first of many interviews and appearances here with us on the Queercast. I really, really appreciate it. And we will continue to reach out and connect with you as our expert on all of this as this story continues to unfold.
All right. Cool.
And I want to say as well that Lee Reinhart, radar man of the second class, I said radio man. See, that tells you what I know about the military. It's good that I have people like Lee to talk to. He will be speaking along with Captain Ann Bidwell at the Chicago chapter of American Veterans for Equal Rights 18th annual dinner. That's right. It is a $35 donation for cocktails and dinner. And this is a year to really lend your dollars, your support, and get involved. There's free parking. It will be Thursday, November the 11th at Ann Sather's restaurant right on Belmont. So you can access that by the Red Line at 6:30. And you should get your tickets early. You can call 773-752-0058. That's 773-752-0058. Free parking at Ann Sather's Thursday, November 11th at 6:30 for a dinner where you can hear both Captain Ann Bidwell and radar man Lee Reinhart talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the importance of equal rights throughout the military. So check that out. The website is averchicago.org. That's averchicago.org.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So Mitchell, thanks so much for being on with me.
Of course, in my caftan.
And your mucklocks. And just real quickly, I mean, we talked about this earlier, but part of our news, but Glee being on the cover of GQ.
Yeah.
And you had said earlier that it's not a kid's show, but don't you think it's the kind of show that as a parent you would kind of want, not your youngest kid, but you'd want your kid to be able to watch
partially fantasy,
partially reality? They do walk that line between fantasy and reality.
Here's
for young
the deal.
People.
I just recently watched Glee with my my best friend, his wife, and his two daughters.
Okay.
His daughters are 14 and 11.
Okay.
And I thought it was a little racy for them.
It's extremely racy. And I don't ever watch it with a child in front of me.
Not, you know, it's not my place to say that. And I mean, actually, these girls totally got it. And, you know, it sort of started a conversation and stuff like that, which is great. And David and his wife are, you know, sort of very open parents as far as, like, mm-hmm. they'll, you know, talk about anything. But I think it's a show that, because it's a musical and it's about high school kids, I think that people just assume, in the same way that Grease, in its original, is not... has some bad language and situations in it. Yep. It's not really for little kids.
Right.
And to sort of say that, like, this GQ covers pedophilia when the two women in it are 24 years old.
Yeah.
They're not children.
And I guess I'm just...
And also, don't let your kids buy GQ.
Well, I mean, there's that. I just guess I'm surprised by why they would be on the cover of GQ A. B.
Well, because it was the guy, because the guy was the sort of focus of the fashion thing, and then he had two girls on the side.
But I mean, but to have Michelle, what's her last name?
Leah Michelle.
I was going to batch call her Michelle Lee. That's a different person.
Maybe it isn't.
But to have Leah
She's
Michelle,
had a lot of work done.
You know, with her skirt kind of blown up, and she does kind of play the girl that the teens can identify with. You know, it, I mean, obviously shows you everything that high school is actually really about, and also the fantasy that the kids go to, you know, that they're rock stars, or I mean, you know, Hannah Montana's no different, right? That right. like they can live these bold kind of lives that you and I were living with a hairbrush in our
I totally get it. My point is that there's a lie being told on the blogs and on TV about Glee being a kids show. That's my only issue. I agree it's racy.
It's a kids show.
I agree it's racy.
I think it's not the smartest choice for Glee to have done that for just to be, to know who your audience is. And your audience is those. I think it would be an okay to like, I almost think it would have been okay to have Santana and Brittany to be on either side. Uh-huh. I think it more what shocked me was that it was Leah Michelle. The blonde, I think, you know, I can't remember her name.
She just
right
had
now.
A baby out of wedlock.
She just had a baby out of wedlock, but I think she was really broken up about it. Mm-hmm. And they picked, you know, I think they've shown
Quinn
teen pregnancy.
Quinn,
thank you. They've shown teen pregnancy on a lot of shows. Right. You know, we have this reality show now about teenage pregnancy, and it doesn't make it out to look like something you really want to have happen. And neither did Glee, in the same way that they deal with sensitive subject matter around Kurt, you know?
Yes.
I mean, they deal with
my only point is, I agree with you that it's racy. I agree with you that it's vaguely inappropriate because once again, there's like this fully dressed man and these scantily clad women. I get all of that stuff, but the people, especially the sort of like, what do they call it? The parents, some sort of right wing organization of like,
oh, I don't think a right wing organization.
My issue is, have they actually watched Glee?
No,
because if they watched Glee, they'd realize that Glee is not an innocent show. They just talk about scissoring.
Yeah. No, believe you me, I get that and I understand.
So that's my
that.
Issue.
I just think it's, you obviously have to get approval for, you know, nothing that television show does, no imaging that television show does goes without notice.
I get that. I'm not saying that I don't think the images are sort of racy and sort of titillating
and shocking.
If I had
teenage girls, that would kind of make me go, okay, what are they really trying to say to our girls?
It's like Olivia Newton-John's been on the talk show circuit because she has this new sort of like new age CD out, which sounds like a nightmare, although I love ONJ, but it sounds like a nightmare.
ONJ.
God bless you, but I don't need 90 minutes of continuous new age music from ONJ. Anyway.
There was a time.
No, not even that. Anyway, so my point is that if you actually watch Grease, which of course everybody has, what's the message?
Yeah. Be slutty.
Be slutty and you'll win the guy.
I gotcha.
He throws off the Letterman nerd jacket and she keeps on the tight cat pants.
Yep.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like be a slut and get the guy.
Yep.
So it's not like this is new.
It's not new.
And so it's not on the cover of a men's magazine. It's on the cover of everything, Grease. I mean, it's
well,
so
no,
ubiquitous.
No, I know, but I just mean.
I guess my point is we just need to stop being a hypocrite about the source material. I get that those images are racy and that's a discussion to be had.
Yep.
But to like blame the Glee kids, it's like.
Oh, I don't blame the Glee kids. I just think that.
No, not you, but all these blogs and like Today on the View and blah, blah, blah.
We could talk
Patricia.
Forever.
Whatever, Sea Face Heaton. Oh. No, God rest her soul.
Patricia Heaton.
I can't stand her.
Okay. And in that we will end.
In my moo-moo.
In your moo-moo, your mutt locks, in your plushies.
My lime green moo-moo.
Oh, we need a picture of this.
Oh, don't you dare. It's, actually, if we do, Di would probably put it on there.
Di would definitely put it on there. Next time.
All right.
Maybe we'll just have to chat more next time.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.